What a blessing. That's hard to follow. So, God is good. God is great. My name is Rick Anderson, and it's an honor and privilege to be here with you this morning. And as a missionary, I like to study missionaries and learn about missionaries. And one of the greatest missionaries we have an example in the Bible. So if you take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 1. We're going to read a little bit about the missionary Paul. But we're actually going to read about him before he became missionary Paul. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. And we have some interesting things about Saul that we can learn about. And then know that we can be used by God. So if I put a title to this morning, it would be How to Be Useful to God, or How to Be Used by God. And Paul is definitely great, one of the greatest missionary examples we have. But let's read. I'm going to read one verse out of chapter 8 verse 3, and then we're going to go to chapter 9. 8 verse 3 says, And for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. And then chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So we'll stop there. Very familiar passage, actually a fun passage to read through. The light shining and God getting his attention. But it's a little scary. Again, this great missionary was not always a great missionary. He was the enemy of God. He was very religious. He wanted to do everything he could to please God. Very religious in the system at that time, to the point where he thought, man, I'm the best, you might say, Christian. It wasn't the word Christian at that time because he didn't follow Christ. But you might think, man, one of the greatest religious people at the time. He went beyond what most people would do in order to try to please God. And in the process, he became the enemy of God, going against everything that God had planned and laid out and had for us in Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Paul was against it. Saul, at this time, was against it and went to the extreme. And we see that. Again, I'll just read 8 verse 3 again real quick. This is after Philip has been martyred. And it said in Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. So imagine this very religious man not only walking into our church here and taking pastor and the deacons and throwing them into jail with authority to do it, but then going into your homes, trying to find out where you live and trying to find out if you follow Jesus Christ also, taking you and throw you into prison also. So he went with gusto. He went with all that he had in order to do that. And because of the persecution, the church left Jerusalem and went to other places. And that's where we pick up in chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings. What language? It's very harsh language. Breathing out threatenings, threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Slaughter is a very forceful word. Threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Went unto them, unto the high priest, and desired of him letters. So he got permission, letters, synagogue, that he may, if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And so if we look at Saul at this point, he thinks he's being used by God in a mighty way. But we know the truth. He's not being used by God at all. He's going against God. He's an enemy. So how can a man like this come to be useful to God, come to be used by God? And we see in verse 3, and he journeyed, came near Damascus, and suddenly there was a shound right about him, a light from heaven, and he fell to earth And he heard the voice of unto him saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? All right. That's how it happened. He saw a bright light, God coming before him and convicting him. No, actually, I wish God would speak that way now. I wish he would shine his light and tell us directly what we could do. But that's actually not why Saul became useful to God. We see it in the next section, in verse 5. Jump down to verse 5. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. All right, here's the key. Saul asked the right questions. When he was confronted by God, when he was convicted by God, he asked the right questions. And here we see, what a powerful question. Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? So we need to stop and think and consider ourselves. Has God confronted us with a shining light on the road to Damascus? No. But does God convict us? Does God confront us? Do we hear the gospel? Have we met Christians? Have we seen others that live for him? Has God confronted us? Does he, and used through the Holy Spirit, draw close to us? Yes. But that's not going to make us useful to God. We need to do something on our part. And we get the example from Saul. He started asking the right questions. And his first question should be our first question too. Who art thou, Lord? So Saul wanted to be used by God, but he was wrong. He was missing what was important. He wanted to be used by God. He became the enemy of God. I say if you saw a bright light from God, you're in the wrong position, because that shows that you're one of the greatest enemies of God. That's who Saul was. So don't wish for a light, because that means you're going really the wrong direction. But God does confront you. God does challenge us. And through his word and through testimonies of others, we see God, because he wants us to come to know him as a savior. But he said, Who art thou, Lord? And then he heard the answer from Jesus. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard. It is hard. I always read it wrong. I say, is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? But it says, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That's something, language we don't really use nowadays. It's like, what is he talking about? At that time, if you're plowing a field, you would have your mule or your donkey or something pulling the plow in front of you. Well, donkeys are very stubborn. Mules get tired. They don't want to do anything. And so as the person behind it, you would get a prick, a sharp stick, a spearhead, whatever it took, depending on the mule, and you would kind of prick them. Okay? And what would the mule do? Kick against it. All right? I'm tired. I'm not moving anymore. Prick. Blah. No more. Okay? Prick a little bit harder. No more. All right? A little scary, but is that where we're at? Okay? When God's pricking our hearts? All right? When God's presenting us with opportunities? Are we basically stubborn? And so he pricks us. Are we pushing against that to the point where he pricks us a little bit harder and we push against it? Again, I always read it as a question, but it's not a question. It's a fact. Our human nature, we push against God and the Holy Spirit. And that's sad. That's scary. We need to be careful that we do not push against those pricks, that direction that God gives us in our lives. And so he asks, Who art thou, Lord? So who is God? Who is God? Do we really know who God is? Do we want to know? First, do we even want to know who God is? Sadly, in our culture, there's a lack of a desire to know who God is. If anything, it's we assume we know who God is, that there is no God, and that we push it aside, and we don't want to learn about it. And you see that if you share the gospel with people. Sometimes you have this great conversation going, everything's going good. As soon as it starts to turn towards God, it's like they throw up the wall and they push you away. Okay, they're kicking against the pricks. And they don't want to give you the opportunity to even discuss about God. So who is God? A scary thing is a lot of people get their understanding of who God is through television. And that's scary. If you stop and think about a movie or something you've seen recently and the way they present God, it is not the God of the Bible. It is not the God, the creator of the universe. We have the truth of who God is in his word. And we have his revelation, and we have so much information that we literally spend the rest of our lives reading the same book over and over and over again and keep finding information about God and who he is. So do you want to know who God is? Don't take it from the social media. Don't take it from the television. Get in God's Word. And honestly, we can spend the rest of our lives reading the same book over and over and over and never get to the end. It's a living Word. And as a missionary for 20 years, I still get in the Word of God and I'm amazed at the new things I learn about who God is. So, do you want to know who God is? Get into the Word of God. Study the Word of God and find out who God is. But here, the response is, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, and the Lord said, "I am Jesus." Uh-oh. Now, Saul, being a very religious man, even in that he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" was probably thinking, "Oh, God is speaking to me," which he was. But the last thing he expected was it to be Jesus speaking to him. He was fighting against Christ. He was fighting against Jesus. Anybody who accepted Jesus Christ or even called on his name or was called by this way is the way that it puts it in Acts. Last thing expected was Jesus to be talking to him. Christ. Why? Because he was a false prophet. He is not the Messiah. He is not God in Saul's eyes. But we know the truth. And all of a sudden he is confronted with the truth of who Jesus is. He says, "I am Jesus." So Saul knew the Bible, and he persecuted those that believed in Jesus. He knew the Bible to the point where he knew, he probably had a lot of it, if not all of it, memorized. He, of his own testimony, says, "I was a Pharisee of Pharisees," which would be like pastor saying, "I am a pastor of pastors," you know, one of the top pastors. Okay, obviously he would not say that. But that's what Saul was saying. He says, yeah, you take Pharisees, we are top of the crop of the Jewish religion, all right? Well, I am the top of the top of the top, okay? I know what is going on. Man, did he miss it. And that was his own testimony was, "I am a Pharisee of Pharisees." But no, God was able to come and present himself even to Saul, a very religious man, but helped him to realize who Jesus was. And as you study the Bible, you learn that if you are not a child of God, you are an enemy of God. And he was not a child of God. He was God's enemy. And we can easily fall into that position. If we are not a child of God, we are God's enemy. And so we need to make sure that we ask the right question. I like, it is hard to live. It is hard to kick against the pricks. Well, it is hard to live right when you are doing wrong as a Christian or even as a non-Christian. It is hard to live right when you're doing wrong. Can God use us when we are doing wrong? All of us sin. I, as a missionary, as pastor said for 20 years, I still sin. Whoa, can God use me? All right. All of us struggle. There are sins in our lives that we struggle against. Okay, I'll back up. If you are not struggling against sin, then something's wrong. The Christian life is a struggle against sin. It is because if we choose not to struggle against sin, that means we're accepting the sin. We're willing to accept it, willing to have that sin as part of our life. So if you're not struggling against sin, you need to examine your life, ask God to reveal to us what's going on in our life. And there should be a struggle. There should be a struggle against the stuff we see in the world today and the stuff we hear, the stuff that's in the news, the stuff that's on the internet, the stuff that's in the books, the good books that we try to read. There's trash. There should be a struggle, a battle, a fight against evil in the world today. We need a strike. We need to fight against sin. Look down at verse 6. Jump down to verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." All right, so we see two excellent questions from Saul. The first one, "Who art thou, Lord?" This is the single most important question in all of life. Who is Jesus Christ to you and to me will determine where we spend eternity. Because if we do not accept him as the Messiah, we do not accept what he did on the cross, then again, we are the enemies of God. We are not the children of God. We have not been adopted into his family. So the first most important question is, "Who art thou, Lord?" So make sure you ask that question. Make sure we know who Jesus Christ is and have asked that question. And don't leave it at a question. Receive the answer. "I am Jesus Christ who died on the cross for you." and put your faith and trust in him for salvation. But then we see that Saul doesn't stop there. He goes on to the next question. And the next question is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That is why Saul was useful to God. It wasn't this bright, shiny light that he ran across and got blinded by on the road to Damascus. It was because he chose to ask the right questions. Lord, what would you have me to do? When we come before God and say, Lord, who art thou? And accept what the word of God says about Jesus Christ and get saved. And then come before God and say, what would you have me to do? That's when we become useful to God. And what a blessing that we do serve a mighty God who wants to use us and wants to have an impact on our life. The second most important question in life, God's will and his will alone should be the heart desire of every child of God. Make sure you're asking God, what will you have me to do? And God will take it and use it. And as we get into God's word, we can see God's will as we learn and we study. And God will open up his word and say, well, you're wondering what to do here. And he'll show us and explain to us what how he wants us to live for him as a child of God at this point. But let's change it a little bit. All right. So how can we be useful to God? Let's change it around a little bit and say, can we be used by God? Can we be useful to God? If you were to look at Saul, you would say, no, he cannot be used to God. But let's reflect on ourselves. Can we be used for God? A couple things we learn again from Saul. First, would God be able to use me with all my faults and problems? As we look at Saul, God was able to use him in spite of his deeds. In spite of what he had done, God was able to take him and use him as a great missionary. What Saul was like before he came to know Jesus, he did everything in his power to destroy Christianity. But in spite of this, God loved him. Did you catch that? In spite of all that he did, and contrary to Jesus Christ, against Jesus Christ, against his word, against the Christians of that way, God still loved him. And God still saved him and came and used him, died on the cross for him. Reflect on us. In spite of all we are, God still loves us. In spite of all we are and all we have done, God still extends grace to lost sinners and grace to those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God loves us and wants to use us and wants us to be used by him and draw close to him. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Saul's an example of that. God loved him in spite of everything that he was doing. Guys, God loves us in spite of everything that we do. Contrary to him, he loves us. We are all sinners. We all deserve to go to hell. We are dead in our sins and cannot go to heaven with God. Only because of the grace of God and his gift of Christ on the cross is it possible for us to live with God. And it is because of that grace of God. We need to examine our deeds. We need to see what we're doing and stop doing wrong. And examine our deeds and see if we're doing right and keep doing that. All right? Take into captivity every thought to the captivity of to the obedience of God, to the obedience of Jesus. So in spite of his deeds, also for Saul, in spite of his desires, we have desires. Saul had a desire to please God, but in spite of that, God used him. Saul's desire was to take and kill those that sought after Jesus Christ. He was a murderer. He had authority to do it, but he was killing men and women who sought after Jesus Christ. In spite of his desire, he had no desire to accept Jesus Christ. He had no desire to follow Jesus. He was actually more against it than we could imagine. In spite of that, God was able to come to him and use it. He had no thought of being saved. He did not need to be saved. He was, again, Pharisee of Pharisees. So with that thought, don't give up on that loved ones that you keep praying for, that neighbor that you keep praying for. Don't give up on them. In spite of their deeds, in spite of their desires, they may have no desire for Jesus Christ at all. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Keep witnessing to them. Why? Because it's all up to God in the first place. It's all up to him and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to convict and draw them close to him. Don't give up on them. because God still loves and wants to share with them. So in spite of his deeds, his desires, in spite of his defiance, all right, we'll just throw that in there because it was an extreme defiance against God, which we run across in the world today. We think Saul is a unique example, and he was. But man, there is a lot of deeds and desires and defiance against God in the world today. In spite of that, God can use us. And we need to ask the right questions. In spite of his devotion, he was a very religious person. He was very devoted to religious system. But again, God was able to use him in spite of that, in spite of his devotion. So remember, he asked the right questions, and then he also obeyed the right answers. When he got the answer, when he got found out what he needed to do, he didn't stop. He obeyed the right answers. When Saul's desire changed from himself to God, God was able to use him. When his desires changed from himself, and it was probably a lot of pride. Again, we see it in his language, in his testimonies. It was a lot of pride. He was very proudful of the position, who he was, and to what extreme he was trying to serve God. All right? But God was able to still use him. So when Saul's desire changed from himself to God, to Jesus Christ, God was able to use him. Jesus can and will use you and me if we make ourselves available to God. Comes back to the right questions. Lord, who art thou and what would you have me to do? When the direction of Saul's life changed, the direction of his life changed from persecuting to preaching Christ. Let's look at a verse here. Jump down to verse 20 in chapter 9 of Acts. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. His direction changed. It was from night to day. He showed up in the city with authority and papers to take those that said exactly what he's saying and throw them in jail to slaughter them. But here he is, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not he that destroyed them, which called on the name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Well, yeah, it is him. But what happened? He changed. And God can change us. And so when his direction of his life, has changed, also his devotion of his life has changed. His devotion changed from persecuting Jesus to preaching Jesus. Look on in verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Okay. His devotion changed from going against Jesus Christ to convincing those that were his same position and authority, all right, convincing them, confounding them, proving to them this was the Christ. Wow, what a testimony. Hey, guys, God can use us, and we will be surprised. We can be surprised the way God will use us and change us, and we'll find ourselves in positions we never thought we would be. I remember in high school, and I remember the conversation clearly, talking to one of my friends. I said, I will never teach high school. That's something I will never do in my whole life. I will not teach high school. Why? Because I was a high school student. I was being ugly to my teachers, and we had friends that were being ugly to our teachers. I will never teach high school. One of the things I love and enjoy the most about being a missionary in Peru is the opportunity to get in front of these young people and share the gospel daily to them out of the Word of God. And I love the school context because if they're not there and they're not listening, they get in trouble. And so I can teach and preach to them, and they grow and they learn, and they learn to ask the right questions. So in spite of our devotion and change, but God will use us. So his direction changed, his devotion changed, and his destination of his life changed. Saul went from headed to hell, separated from God for eternity, to spending eternity with God in heaven. His destination changed. So yes, can we be used by God? Yes, we can be used by God. We just got to make sure we ask the right questions. And then we see through Paul, he actually lived by the right principles too. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he was able to say that to those that knew that he had the paper that he used to go against Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he knew, because it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so, yeah, we see, and we could go on and on about his right principles. He's living for God. So God was able to use him. So let's turn it around. What about you and I? Can God use us? Yes. Start by asking the right questions. Lord, what would you... who art thou, Lord? Make sure that we get the salvation taken care of. Why? Because God will not use you if you're not a child of God. Yes, as a imitation, I could come to church and never have accepted Christ as my Savior. I can be involved in the church and have never accepted Christ as my Savior. I can take tracts and share them with people, and God will use that because it's the Word of God that He has promised will never come back void. I can actually teach Sunday school and have people come to Christ, but God will not use me and bless me and honor me if I have never accepted Him as my Savior. Why? Because I am an enemy of God. I am against Him. Don't be deceived. Make sure that you take the step where you're asking, Lord, who art thou? And you accept that He died on the cross for you and put your faith and trust in Him. And then, obviously, Lord, what would you have me to do? Obey the right answers. Live by the right principles. Paul is our example. And what a good example of him. One of the greatest Christians during all history. I challenge you. Do a Bible study. Read through the book of Acts. Read through the letters that Paul wrote and find out who he was. Make it a personal study. Look from the perspective of a missionary. How was he a missionary? And study it. Read books about Paul. Get into the Word of God and see that he was a good example for us in his life. But one of the greatest Christians during all history, he laid the foundation for us. A lot of missionaries follow his example and follow what he would do. But Paul knew better than anyone that without Jesus Christ, he was none of these things. He would not be successful. I want to wrap up. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to wrap up the lesson by kind of reading through a passage that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and just hear from his words as he teaches the Corinthians and allow him to teach us also. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It starts out in verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, and I like that, he's speaking to Christians. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, and of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Can you hear what he's saying? He went from being the Pharisee of Pharisees, the top of the crop, to a point where he did not even think he was worthy to be called an apostle. That he's amazed that Jesus Christ appeared to him as of one out of due season. But by the grace of God, he was useful to God. But by the grace, now let me read the last two, verse 10 again. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Can we be useful to God? Yes. How? How in the world? It's by the grace of God that we can be useful. And when he looks at us, welcomes us to heaven, well done, my good and faithful servant. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. We need to make sure that the grace that he extends to us is not in vain. How would it be in vain if we never accept Jesus Christ as our Savior? How would it be in vain if we never ask, what can I do for you? All right. It'd be in vain if we never lived for Christ. Was not in vain, but I labored. It's work. It's not easy to live for God. It's not easy. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. What a promise. So yes, it's a lot of work, but we're not doing it on our own. It's God coming beside us, like we heard, going before us and knowing what we're going to be encountering and walking through it with us. But by the grace of God, which was with me, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. And so you believe. What an opportunity God has given us. So can we be useful to God? I hope the answer is yes. But it all depends on you and the questions you ask for God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Saul, even as terrible a man as he was, that we can look at him and his example and the way that you used him. And we can reflect on ourselves, Lord. I pray that you help each one here, each one that's listening or watching. I pray that you help them to ask the right questions. Lord, who art thou? And put their faith and trust in you for salvation. And then that we can ask the next right question. Lord, what would you have me to do? And then follow your leading and your example. And then as we look and see that you're leading us and beside us and going before us, that we have a wonderful opportunity to be useful by you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this missions conference. In your name we pray. Amen.